Want to welcome in Jay Green, proud Flintstone, former MSU receiver, someone who knows a little bit about injuries. Jay, why is it that injuries seem to come in bunches? And you can have games, you can have months. Last year, I think Michigan State had 2 months. Very, very fortunate with injuries. Had a lot to do with that 11-2 season. This year, you got 5 major injuries, and 4 of the 11 guys who are defensive starters banged up now. Why does this happen just so often in bunches?
Well, for one, I think you have to consider that the game that's being played is very physical. And I'm always under the belief that once games, well, actually not even games, but once, you know, fall camp kind of start, nobody's really, 100% healthy. Because your body really takes a beating. I think that, some of it are, a lot of it is unfortunate, because you get guys, sometimes we get their legs rolled up on, or, sometimes you even get non-contact injuries, but I think a lot of it has to do with the physicality of the game, and, that's just part of it.
Jay, as a college player, you're guaranteed 48 opportunities. Now, sometimes you get a COVID year come into play, in this case. You can get bowl games, you can get extra things. But 12 games a year for 4 years, and it goes by in a hurry. So guys don't want to sit out. Can you talk about the decisions that are made when guys are hurt, but they're not injured to the point of surgery? Question is, do they play with an injury? How much pain can they play with? How can they mediate that pain? What goes into a decision like that?
Well, I think first and foremost, if you ever ask a player, as long as they breathe, they're going to feel like they can play. I think that's kind of why you have the trainers and the doctors to kind of, step in and, kind of be some kind of level-headed is what I'm trying to say. The decision to go into weather plan or not is usually, through the week. You get your treatment, you see, what you can do and what maybe you can't do. And, it's usually a collective, depending on what the injury is, is usually a collective decision between the player, the doctors, the coach, everybody is kind of involved in it. Because you have to think about risk of furthering injury, or if it's really not no chance of it getting any worse. I've seen guys who got a knee scope and then played the same week that they got a knee scope, which I couldn't imagine, but I've seen it happen. And I think a lot of times, like I said, if you ask the players, the player is going to, do everything in their power to play. I've seen guys who got concussions that would try to, get past the test so they can get back on the field.
Jay, when you think about doctors, and they're supposed to be looking out for the long-term interests of their patients, and a lot of them would normally err on the side of caution, trying to give players an extra chance to be healthy, knowing the physical nature of the game. And then there are coaches, and they come at it from a little different angle. And I've seen some of them who are concerned with the long term, and others who want every player back in uniform as soon as possible. Some of them have even put pressure on trainers and medical staff. And then you come to the player, and ultimately it's his body on the line. But for every player I've known who has said, I got a pro contract here, I got to be extra careful, I think I'm going to sit out an extra week or two, I've known 4 players who have said exactly what you mentioned. Hey, if I can get on that field, I ain't missing this game. So it's an interesting question, and one I guess in every case is handled a little differently.
Yeah, it is. And, especially now, I think, it was a whole lot different when I played because, you didn't have the CTE. That wasn't a factor. And a lot of other things, aren't factors. And I think, as a doctor, you got to look at you know, I've seen some cases where doctors are, you know, being sued for stuff that they do with athletes. So it's, you know, that's something else that you got to look out for as being a physician. But like I said, if you a player, if you ask a player, and even that might be a little bit different now, but I know when I played, if you ask a player is going to always try to get on the field, especially if it's a big game. You know, you always just want to be out there with your teammates, even if, you know, you feel like even, you know, 30 or 40% of you is better than, you know, maybe better than all of somebody else. So, you know, it's kind of like your competitive nature kind of kicks in a little bit. And, you know, it's just how we wired, I guess, is what I'm really trying to say. It's just how us as athletes are wired.
People say injuries are part of the game and, you know, the next guy up and all that stuff. But fact is, injuries do make a tremendous difference in teams. Second team guys are not necessarily starters, and reserves who are pressed into action probably not going to be as good as the guys they're replacing. So when a defense winds up with four of the 11 guys who were starters at the beginning of the year standing on the sideline, what does that mean?
Man, that's tough. When you're talking about four guys, and if I remember correctly, you got guys on every level. So you got linemen,
that's right,
linebackers, and secondary guys. So that's to me, that's really a problem. But you know, you just try to find a way to kind of, you know, plug guys in, because like you said, the guy, it's a reason why the guy behind him is a backup. You know, nine times out of ten, and you hope that you can just kind of, you know, get something out of those guys. Of course, you know it's not going to be the same, but you hope that the guy who's behind them can step in and, you know, contribute. You like I said, you don't expect the same thing that you got from the other guy, but you do want something. So it's kind of crazy how, you know, how it sometimes works out where you get guys who, you know, like teammates who've been around guys who know what they're capable of. And for some reason, it don't never come out until they actually get that chance for whatever reason. Right. So,
right. And Jay, this isn't an excuse. It's just the way it is. And that's why depth matters. It's why it's important that you have a solid second team and you have an acceptable third team. Because a lot of times you get into that. We've seen it with Ohio State. Buckeyes have had injuries this year, and they have been able to replace at a comparable level. A lot of teams not that fortunate. And then I think about guys who don't miss time, Jay, but they're not out there at 100%. I don't know any team in the country right now that is as healthy today after three or four games as it was when it opened practice. So everybody is going to be a little sore, a little banged up, probably going to be minus a player or two. Some cases minus four or five. But when you have guys who are out there and they can't move the way they should, and we have seen that, maybe you're a step slow in coverage. Maybe you come up and you don't hit the same way. You don't bring a guy down. You miss a tackle, or you give up yardage that you wouldn't otherwise, and it results in a first down. Those are things that I don't think a lot of fans see.
No, I agree, because the other thing is a lot of times, you know, guys who are playing backup roles don't get the same kind of reps or looks in practice that the guys who are, you know, starting may get. You know, the guys who are starting, they kind of being prepared to play, so they might, you know, go over a play a couple times and repeat it to make sure that they got it right, as opposed to guys who are backups. They just trying to kind of, you know, get something on film to see what's going on, but you know, it's a difference. It's a huge difference. I even remember, you know, playing where, you know, we would have specialty plays that only the first team would practice. So if you got a guy, you know, who coming in off the bench, now you can't do that because he hasn't practiced that.
I think about some teams, Jay, that just seem to have another team's number. I was going back through some Duffy Doherty stats for our Growing Green football family series, and Duffy had such tremendous success against Michigan and Notre Dame. I think he was 17-5 against those two teams in one stretch. But he couldn't beat Minnesota. Couldn't do it. He was 3-10, and a lot of Minnesota teams that weren't very good saw Michigan State on the schedule and got big smiles on their face. Was there a team when you were playing for George that you said, oh, man, we have a lot of trouble with these guys. Hope we don't have to play them.
I think it was a few teams like that. I think Notre Dame was one of those teams because, you know, when I played, when Lou Holtz was coaching, Notre Dame had, like, you know, five All-Americans on each side of the ball at the minimum.
Right, right.
You know, so that was always kind of, I know my freshman year, you know, we almost beat them and they were number one where, had the ball bounced the right way, you know, we would have been able to do it. But other than that, you know, that's one of those teams. And then the teams that you're supposed to beat, to me, are always the hardest teams to play because a lot of times it's just a game that you're trying to, you know, just get through, you know, at the end of the day. But, you know, to them, it's like a national championship game. So the games that we're supposed to win, to me, were always the hardest, you know, to get prepared for.
And Notre Dame, it's funny too, Jay, the streaks. Michigan State did not beat Notre Dame from 1987, and that was a Rose Bowl year here, from 1987 through 1996, 10 years. Didn't have a win over the Fighting Irish. And then Saban and Bobby Williams, they don't lose to them. They beat them five in a row, three times in South Bend, and Michigan State won five straight games in Notre Dame Stadium, and, you know, that ties the record.
What's interesting is I have heard guys on those teams, you know, kind of talk about how they dominated Notre Dame, and my response is always, you didn't play the real Notre Dame, you know, because I just felt like there was a difference. Not only on the sideline, but, you know, the guys that he was recruiting. You know, Notre Dame was in the top five in recruiting every year when Lou Holtz was a coach. And he, you know, turned the team around, won a national championship. But I had to tell him, like, that's not the real Notre Dame that y'all was playing. Like, not to take away from y'all winning or none of that, but it's not the same.
I got two messages here, Jay. One from a regular listener who follows you and your picks. Said, how surprised is Jay with what happened last week at Washington? Another one said, quit screwing around. Give us Jay's pick for tomorrow.
Well, for the first one, I think in the back of my mind, I feel like, for some reason, everybody kind of felt like that we were going to lose that game. And even though in my predictions, I don't think that was one of the games that I picked us to lose, but it was still a concern. But, you know, I think, like I always tell you, when you played, you kind of look at things differently than, you know, the average fan does. And I was surprised about, you know, kind of how it went as far as them being able to just kind of throw the ball the way they were. And I thought that we would come out, you know, with more fire than what we did and start better than what we did.
But, Washington, you know, was a 3.5-point favorite. So you can't say that this was a big shock, even though the Huskies were unranked and Michigan State was 11th. Vegas thought that Washington would win the game. But I don't think anyone thought that Washington would dominate Michigan State and shut them down and make it almost impossible to run and then throw at will.
I agree, but, I mean, sometimes you just got to get the other team credit is what I say. You know, I think that Michael Penix, being a guy who has faced Michigan State, you know, when he was playing in the Big Ten, you know, I think that's an advantage because you kind of know things that other people may not know. And I think that kind of helped. I think their game plan offensively was brilliant, where they, you know, kind of got some mismatches, and they did that by scheming. So again, sometimes you just got to give the other team credit. They were a better team on that day, and we just have to live with that.
All right. How much credit are you willing to give Minnesota? And what do you think the score is going to be tomorrow afternoon at Spartan Stadium?
Well, I think what's interesting about this game is it's kind of like a strength on strength. They like to run the ball, and stopping the run is kind of our forte. So it's going to be a battle of wills that I think the us being in the woodshed will definitely be an advantage. So I'm picking us to win 24-10.
Okay. If you could tell me that Jacob Slade was going to play, I might buy that. I'm not buying it. And I think Michigan State would win a close game if everyone were healthy. With that not being the case, I think Minnesota is likely to win a close game, a one-possession game. Tom Crawford said Michigan State is going to win in overtime. So it's all over the place, and as often happens, you know, he's more positive about what Michigan State is going to do than most Michigan fans. But it'll be fun to see tomorrow. I know you'll be there, and I know that we'll have a chance to talk again next Friday.
Definitely. I'll look forward to it.
Jay Green, proud Flintstone, former MSU receiver under George Perlis in the early 1990s.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.